Everybody, another edition of Sound Therapy Radio here on a Tuesday evening, rainy Tuesday in January, and we have a special episode dedicated to our friend Ricky, who is a warrior in many ways. So we're gonna play some clips from him on our show a couple years ago, as well as various random clips of him singing at various places around town. So stay tuned, Sound Therapy Radio, for Ricky, Musical Warrior. I'll never be far away from you. If you give me love, I'll do all the things I said I do. Yeah. Holding my hand with fingers tight. Welcome back to CGSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby. I'm your host, Jay Peachy, here on Sound Therapy Radio. We are doing a special dedication episode to our friend Rick LaValle, who, for those of you who were part of the Downtown East Side, Oppenheimer, Occupy Vancouver, any type of activist, really, especially social, environmental, you would have run into Ricky. If you don't maybe have a clue who we may be talking about, a large native guy always playing the blues with a guitar, and if you wanted to jam, he was there. So you'll probably come to know who we're talking about as we have this discussion. I met Rick the first time in 2010 during the Olympics. Ryan Fletcher and I, who host radio here, hosted a homelessness marathon episode, which is part of a national broadcast. And we went recruiting for guests of our theme show, which was dedicated to homeless artists and musicians. And the Olympic Tent Village was just a block away from W2, which is where we had the the episode. It was the old Peril building, which is kind of across the street from Woodward's. And so this is this is our first remote broadcast at the time.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was a kind of a new thing remotely.
Yeah.
And everything just kind of universally came together. Like we said, oh, let's kind of do something.
Came apart and then came together.
Yeah, yeah. And Erwin said, well, you guys have the spot here. Why don't you guys do something? It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was there to begin with. It's just the us humans messed it all up. So, but it all worked out. And Ryan and I looked at each other when we knew we had the date. We were like, this is going to be,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We knew. Like, and then it was more than like, you can't.
It was pretty magical because there's a lot happening at that time, and it was very timely. And we had a large audience, guaranteed across the country because of the Homelessness Marathon, I think.
Yeah.
And
it's during the Olympics, and there's all these.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And there's this and so we're the week before. We're like, we got to find guests, and people are like, man, you're not going to get home. They're not going to be able to show up. They,
yeah,
you know, they might be a stand. You know, and yeah, so it was really dicey.
Oh yeah,
it was like, and even the trusted guests that I know, they're like, oh, I didn't know it'd be on TV. Like, show up.
Yeah, they're so nervous.
Yeah, yeah,
very nervous.
And these are trusted.
Nervous for a reason too. I mean.
Yeah, police and
yeah, like Ricky was pretty nervous. And
well, let's talk about how, like, we track them down, because the village was the occupation, which is a block away. There's people staying in tents, and there
was a tent city.
Yeah
He was one of the
tent village ones.
Yeah,
yeah. So
yeah,
Maybe talk a bit about that process, kind of looking, and then we ran into him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we were going down to the downtown east side regularly, try and find people, going to all the places where people gather, and
this shit. Yeah, you gotta come to this bar. There's gotta be some musicians.
Yeah,
and we're like, oh, okay, and we're like, where's the exit?
Yeah, and people. I mean, you get. I think one thing that was eye opening is how much we depend on technology, because they had no. A lot of them had no address they could give you. They had no phone, no way to connect them. It's just they're there. If they're there, they're there. If they're not, they're not. You know,
yeah,
kind of thing. You have no way of making sure of things. So,
and how do you plan an episode? Like, you know, we're saying, yeah, just come to SFU here. We'll text you the address. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
Plus, they have a lot of addictions problems, and that their memory might not be reliable, and all kinds of stuff, and who knows where their life is going to take them on any given day.
Yeah.
Plus, at that time, there was this thing about wanting to remove all the homeless people from the downtown east side for the Olympics.
Yeah.
Too, which they were nervous about. So, yeah, but it came together, and I think it was very brave of the people who came out, like Ricky, and they, it was really, I know it was very important for the people there that we were doing this, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny, we were like, we gotta find musicians, and they're like, yeah, go see those guys over there, and, you know, Ricky was there jamming away, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll come on, and then and this is like a week or so before, and checking in, and it's like, yeah, what day is that again? And just have to keep going back, and
yeah,
and yeah, well, I found the right guy. Like, I mean, so I'm pulling up this episode, this Homelessness Marathon that Ryan and I put together. We split the a couple hours of programming. So, and Ricky was a feature guest here. So I'm just trying to cue it up here, so in this episode, we had Ricky, plus, you know, a banjo best friend he just met, like, you know, and just his spirit comes through here. So bear with me, because I'm just chucking it down. But yeah, this is a couple years ago at the W2 Media House. I guess it was Culture Media House, it was called at the time. So here we go. All right, this is... Rick LaValle, here we go. Let's see.
Oh boy, here I go again. I'm happy to be here. Yeah, my name is Rick, and I'm all the way from Manitoba, Portobello, Regina. Yes. The music that I play is bluegrass music, and if any bluegrass players out there listening, I challenge you. I want to challenge you guys to come down and start a band with me at the Tent City. I know I'm happy to. What's happening to the mic?
Keep going.
Okay, there we go. Now, but anyways, you know, this month, I get. I'm happy to be playing with somebody special sitting beside me, and her name is Star. Yeah, I call my band Ricky and Star.
Have you met before? Had you met before the Tent Village, or?
No, first time we met. But she's one of the best banjo players I've ever played with, and I'm happy to do this tonight to play with her.
I think I'm the first.
First and best, that's okay.
Yeah, and she's one of the best.
Yeah. Well, great.
So am I with the guitar.
We were talking before, Rick's a popular interview, about how you're feeling on the street with the Olympics and the police. And could you talk about that again in terms of how you're feeling and how some of your friends may have are feeling with the Olympics in town?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I feel sad tonight because I lost a dear friend in Manitoba, and it was sad that he died of police custody. Now, I know my brothers and sisters are out there tonight. They're listening to me from Manitoba, Alberta, different places, and they're watching me hopefully on TV, and they're saying, there is a Native brother that's standing up against the Olympics. No Olympics on Native stolen land.
No, just I get back to the point where on the street you feel intimidated by the police, or you'd mentioned the other day that you were participating in the heart attack rally. Tell us a bit about that.
That was scary for me to go because I got scared, Brad. When I seen the riot police come, I thought I was going to be shot after or made up. But guess what? Rick stood his ground. And I didn't hide behind a mask like those other cowards did.
So you guys have been jamming in the Tent City. You've come up with a couple songs you ready to do one now? All right. Just going to set it up here.
You're listening.
This is like real live technical setup here.
Sound Therapy Radio.
On radio, we're
definitely needs to be.
We haven't forgot about you, so we're just moving stuff around. All right.
There's a song I wrote called Rock the Baby Tonight. And this is for the Tent City people that are staying right in Vancouver. I'm gonna rock that Tent City tonight. I'm gonna rock that Tent City tonight. Well, I'm gonna rock my baby. Thank you.
All right, that's Rick and Star. Let's pull up, grab that mic there.
I don't know how to grab it. I'm too nervous now. No problem. We're on TV.
There you go.
Are we on TV?
Well, if
we're on TV, my eyes are sleepy, but I'm still awake.
So talk about bluegrass. Why is it, why do you do bluegrass now, like rap or some other type of music?
Excuse me, I got a snotty nose, but I just talk about my what?
Bluegrass.
Well, I started to play bluegrass when I was only 4 years old, and I learned it from Dal McCurry. How many people know who Dal McCurry is? Yeah. Today was a funny thing. I went busking today, and I didn't have a license, and it was sad. Very, very sad, yeah. But today, I made $50. But tonight, when I get out of my show here, I'm going busking with some people, with some of my friends. And I'm happy that I'm doing it tonight again. But, you know, bluegrass to me is fun to play. Because I do a little bit of Dolly Parton bluegrass music, Randy Travis, Alan Jackson. And speaking of bluegrass music, I'm going to be doing a dance at the Carnegie Center in June. Come and check that out. Rick and the Twisters, a new band. Nice. What else do you want me to talk about?
You had a story to tell?
A story?
Pull up the mic there.
All right, that's Rick LaValle from the Wholenesses Marathon that we did February 23rd, 2010, singing his bluegrass and his rock in the tent city. So we're just going to take a bit of a break, play a couple of public service announcements, and then come back on our show dedicated to Mr. Rick LaValle here on Sound Therapy Radio on CJSF 90.1 FM. Be right back.
People say life on the hill can be lonely. ARCS, SF Pergs Action Research Exchange can help remedy this loneliness by connecting you to community groups who need you. By taking on an ARCS research project, the work you do up on the hill can work for positive change in the community. ARCS research projects can be substituted for coursework and enable students to work directly with community groups for credit. Browse the available projects posted on the website at www.sfpirg.ca/ARCS or come into the SF PIRG office located in the Rotunda for information on how to get started on an ARCS project. This semester, put academic resources to use for social justice and community action. SF PIRG, for a just, sustainable, and meaningful world.
The Urban Native Youth Association Connections Program is looking for volunteer mentors to act as friends and role models for Aboriginal youth ages 15 to 19. Our hope is that the friendships formed will be lifelong and help support youth as they are transitioning from long-term care to independent living. If you are at least 19 years of age and willing to commit a minimum of 2 hours a week for 1 year, please contact the Connections Coordinator at the Urban Native Youth Association by phone at 604-254-7732 or fax at 604-254-5630.
All right, JPG back here on Sound Therapy Radio, CJSF 90.1 FM. We're doing a special episode dedicated to our friend Rick LaValle, and we have some stuff that's on the worldwide internet web. For those of you that were part of Occupy Vancouver movement, you may know Ricky with his guitar and kind of jam it out. I got a bit of a story because I'd occupied there as well, and I'd brought a guitar, my Salmon guitar, and Ricky would he would borrow it. He was kind of the custodian of my guitar, and I always trusted that he'd kind of take care of it, because musicians always they know when another musician lends an instrument, that's pretty quite a big deal. For me, that guitar is it's pretty special. It's a Salmon guitar. It has Salmon stickers on it. Alexandra Morton played with it, and it was it's really big thing, but I know it was in good hands with Ricky. Recently, earlier this month, actually, it went missing. And, I get possessed to my art supplies, but, you know, I figured, oh, it'll just show up. And this was kind of like when Ricky had the guitar at Occupy. I knew he had it for days, and I was like, well, I know he's got it, and if I really need it, I can just ask him, and he'll, you know. And, so, you know, one day I was looking for him, I couldn't find him. I was like, oh, where's my guitar? And then it was in my tent. He had actually put it back in there, right? And so, like, I always kind of trusted that he has it. And then I said, you know, anytime you want to borrow it, you know, take it. And he actually wouldn't go in my tent. He would ask me for it, and then I would get it and give it to him. And so this happened multiple times over there. But as I said, you know, earlier this month, I was like, actually, this was with the night I went to go camp in Stanley Park. I had the guitar, and I was like, well, should I bring it in? No, I'll leave it in the van. And then the next day, it was missing, and I figured it was just buried in my van somewhere, and I still haven't found it. And at that time, he had already passed away. I only knew this recently, right? So I went and got a new guitar. I was like, well, maybe it's just time to get a new one. And I rented one from Long McQuaid and ended up doing this kind of random music thing at one of the Occupy Vancouver things. And it was really just, it was a special time for that guitar to come out at that meeting. And if for people who knew, because there's a lot of conflict in the General Assemblies, and I said, well, I'm just going to, for my announcement, I'm going to play it in music, right? And it was a really special GA. And for those people who know, a lot of people say, wow, it's the best GA ever. And all we did is kind of what we do here. We inject music in the conversation, and we know what that does, right? And my guitar, my Salmon guitar, was still missing at the time. And then I found out that Ricky passed away, and then it kind of clued in. It's like, wow, my guitar's missing. He's got my guitar. I don't know where it is, but you know what? I know it's safe. And actually, this whole time, I'm not like actually stressed that my guitar is missing. You know, it has the Salmon stickers. Alex played like at May Day with it, right?
Yeah.
And it has like a harmonica. It has like some personal things in it. But you know what? I had this calmness. It's like, well, it's gonna show up.
Mm-hmm.
And that night I stayed at Stanley Park. It was like, it was a full moon, and it was a really magical, like, amazing. My ideas were flowing, like, mm-hmm. things were falling into place, like, for a whole 24-hour period after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine, Angel, I said, you know what? I know why my guitar is missing. But I was never stressed about it. And it says Ricky's got the guitar. He's playing it somewhere, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Wherever it is. Like, it's meant to be gone. Like, if I find it, it's, you know. Ricky's like, yeah, it's in your tent. Like, I put it where it was supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
It'll probably show up. Like, oh, someone gave this to me to give to you. This is how it'll probably show up. But I trust.
Yeah.
In the circumstances I got it was of Universal anyways. I never paid for it. I bartered for it and that kind of thing. So,
mm-hmm.
That's how I'm kind of dealing with this, right? Like, I mean, I knew he wasn't really in very good health, and it's like, well, I don't know if he's going to really last really long. Like, I mean, I had to drive him home from Occupy one day and really had to force him to go take care of himself. And
he was so totally in the moment, you know. I think he was kind of spiritually ready for whatever, right?
Yeah, he knows.
Yeah. So, a guy like that, you just like, he's there, and that's all you think about, right?
Living in the present. Yeah. Yeah. Talk a bit about like this energy that you like when you first saw him, and now, and kind of hearing this story. And
I'm trying to remember when I first met him, because I knew him from before, and it might have been from volunteering at the church there.
He's cooking food, I think, probably.
Or something. I've heard of him before I met him, because he actually, my ex-fiance was doing a show on Co-op Radio. And he met her outside the door and started jamming with her in the sort of the lobby area, and then he ended up being on the radio with her, and I was like, yeah. I was like, okay.
He knows what his role is really in life, and just sending a message to his music.
Yeah. And then I think I was with her the next time, and she told me who he was, and I said hello. So when we saw him at Tent City, I already knew who he was and that sort of stuff. But
yeah.
He
had a simple life. Like, I mean, he just wanted to play music, right? He just gave everything up to do that. And when he figured it out, that was his gift. But he was very profound. Like, you know, in that interview, he's talking about the heart attack rally, and that's with all the black blockers, right? And he said, those cowards were wearing masks. And he went down, you know, with his music. And like, wow, that's... Mm-hmm. That's the type of spirit he had. So we're going to play Ricky's song for the camp, because it seems like he just sings in the moment, right? And just makes it up.
He does.
It just flows through, right? A very Dionysian, like, apparently this is the...
He creates fun of wherever he is, and that's what's really cool.
Yeah. All right, so this is Ricky's song for the camp. This is from Occupy and recorded by Brent, who has been just... being the eyes and recording for people in the movement. So here we go. Let's check it out. It's on YouTube, Videographer 1234567. It's a very easy thing. Okay, here we go. So this is just after we jump in.
This is about the camp.
Continue on with